Hello, and you're listening to Let's Drone Out. And special thank you to our lovely patrons that helped donate so that we could pay the editor to remove the swear words and silly things we say. Massive thank you to
Carlos Campos,
Art Faulkner,
Sam Dharma.
On with the show.
Telemetry recovered.
Let's drone out.
Hello, and welcome to Let's Drone Out, episode 469 for Thursday the 22nd of August. You are joined by everyone's favourite, Curry Kitten.
Hello!
And our stand-in Lord and Master, Jack, right until I fly.
Hello, how's it going?
Jack is standing in for our traditional Lord and Master, as he has been stranded in a realm without IP connectivity.
I'm slightly distressed the fact that Jack looks like some sort of puppet eyes. He's like blacked out on a black background. Stephen was off to one side, but he's come back into the middle, and that's making my slight OCD.
If this helps create conversational formats.
It's such a crap day. There's hardly any light.
Like you can reach out through the side of the screen and just...
Do you think it's the end of summer?
Predatory. I hope not. I was just telling... Stephen, I've ended up with a lot of stuff coming all at once, which is giving me 11
videos
in a row.
11!
I'm looking at my whiteboard, and I've got four things that are ready to fly. But to do that, I need A, not rain, and also I need my field. And one of the farms I fly on is being used for something, so I can't fly over it at the moment. And as three of the four things need some distance, I'm a bit screwed there, so I can't do that much. Which is painful.
So it's probably waterlogged by now.
From rain to blistering hot heat wave that's so uncomfortable you don't want to be outside. So, yeah.
That's true. Last time I was there, it's like hottest day of the year. Even the cows couldn't be bothered to come trample on my stuff. They were all hiding under a tree trying to keep cool.
And you've got to stand in the middle of a field, like getting fantastic goggles tan on your faces.
Yes. Everybody says it is a fantastic goggle.
Maybe not a full gazebo, but some kind of lightweight umbrella that could provide a bit of shade so you don't end up with like the traditional ski mask like tan lines.
That wouldn't be bad. I've never really gone with occasionally I used to take a chair with me. That was as high tech as it went. These days I have a tarpaulin and I sit on that if I need to sit down. Yeah. That is as good as it gets.
You've got quite a muddy flying experience though. So, just this week we were, I wandered onto the Express LRS Discord and I noticed that after years of people jokingly asking, what about MathLink? why don't you add to your high-speed racing link MathLink that people use for unsupervised flights on these giant autonomous drones, because that's what you want with a racing 5-inch. It's going to come out the next release. So Mavlink support is inbound for 3.5, it looks like. We don't know when 3.5 is, when it's ready, as usual. But that means this is going to go from something that's kind of long range with Betaflight and iNav to something that's fully ready for Argypilot, which is an interesting can of worms to be open, don't you think?
Autopilot is, I feel, quite hateful, and there's a lot of spreadsheet manipulation, it seems, when you're trying to look for these weird parameters. But it does put a nice picture of your model on a map and track it around, which are flying it. Previously, people have been in the sort of realm of data radios, as they're called, and sometimes they work on a 433 link, and you can get a Wi-Fi link, and they're generally not as good as the range you've got for your radio. It's quite interesting about Express LRS carrying all this MathLink telemetry and pushing it back to the mission planner and allowing you just to... I don't think any of us guys do it, but I'm sure many people do. They do their mission plan, and then they're like, actually, no, I want to do a circle here and change the mission plan halfway through and that sort of thing. It's quite exciting, but I still find Autopilot hateful, generally.
Well, also, they may have had less range than your control link radio, but I think the main brand were these SIK radios. And over here in the UK, they're stocked by only a handful of places, and they cost pretty much more than any other link you're going to find. So it was expensive and lesser range. And it looks like with Maverick support and Express LRS, you can use anything. So if you want to, you can use a regular transmitter on the ground and a regular receiver in the air. But if you really want to, you can get things like the cheap EMAX transmitter, and you can use it as a receiver in your quad, so that your quad, instead of being stuck with like a 200 milliwatt telemetry link, now has like a watt of telemetry power. So you've got a watt in each direction between the quad and the ground station. Combined with a bunch of long-range LoRa, you've got now crazy distances on a piece of kit that's, you know, probably 10 to 20 pounds each end, depending on where you buy it. Could draw a lot more people into autonomous flying.
It's crazy how much has gone on. Also, what I notice in Express LRS, because you don't look at them for a couple of months and you think, well, they've pretty much done it all, nothing else is coming. And then I found out about the LR1121 chip that is the what they call the third generation transceiver from Semtech. With the interesting thing about this, have you heard of Gemini crossband?
Yeah.
It can on a single chip, it's possible to do, I'm reading this, by the way, on my other screen, I'm not just ignoring you guys, 150 to 960 megahertz and 2.4 gigahertz. So you've got a single chip that can do two completely different bands. So what you can do is stuff two of these chips in there, and you've got something that talks both bands at once.
Yeah.
And so you can your Gemini then becomes
like 1,000 hertz close up.
Yeah.
And then when you're 1,000 miles away, it goes down the toilet because it can't penetrate the concrete wall. You've still got this ultra robust 433 megahertz link.
It's mental.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think at the moment they're looking at sort of the 900 and 2.4 modes, aren't they? But 433 is out there as well, isn't it?
Yeah. And yes, Caroline, this is going to be like a configurator option. Right now, you've got to jump through some hoops and, I've got a GIF. Give me just a second. My memory is terrible, but there is an image that explains it all. So I will just simply full screen this and share it. Oh, word, too many windows. This pretty much says everything about it. So right now we've got airport. An airport converts one of your Express LRS links entirely into like a UART that happens to work over the air. Whereas Mavlink runs alongside a control link. So you've got Mavlink as a control link, and then you've also got like Mavlink as a kind of airborne UART, and they're both running on the same thing, rather than you needing two receivers, one for airport and one for regular crossfire LRS. With Mavlink RC, you're kind of jamming everything in a two-way telemetry system alongside the control link, from what I can make out there. And the instructions for how to enable this are in this convenient little diagram. Hopefully this all is readable for people who are watching, but for the audio listeners, what we've got here is a diagram that says you want to flash the backpack, and you will need a transmitter with a backpack. Most of them have it these days, not all of them do. But you need to flash it to the master branch until ELRS Configurator version 1.5 comes out. In ELRS Configurator until Backpack version 1.5 comes out. And you're going to use that backpack chip to get the telemetry data onto your laptop, right? So your laptop obviously doesn't have an Express LRS chipset in it. So you've got to connect your laptop, and you can do it via Wi-Fi between the TX and your laptop. So you can connect like a serial port over Wi-Fi, or you can plug a USB cable straight into the transmitter and the other end into your laptop, and it'll just appear like a USB connected serial port. On the flight controller side, you need a receiver flashed with Express LRS 3.5 or newer, and you need the full UART, so you need both sides connected. And there's some instructions there on how to set up the serial RX under Arduino. And you're going to need to select the latest 3.xx maintenance branch, because version 3.5 hasn't been released yet. and the changes are in the maintenance branch. And when 3.5 is released, they'll get dropped into the main branch. So you've got two sides there. You've got the flight side. You need a receiver flashed to the appropriate version, and the transmitter needs to have version 3.5 on newer as well. And then you've got the backpack. So you need to make sure you're updating not just the transmitter module, but your backpack as well, because your backpack's the bit that's going to be taking all of that data and sending it out to your laptop.
I guess what it is that rather than thinking about ExpressLRS sending this, it's kind of like you're turning the ExpressLRS receiver and transmitter into a sort of virtual serial port, and you're sending Mavlink, and some of the Mavlink happens to be control data. So you right. send your control signals that way.
Right. I do wonder what kind of rates you get. I've seen people talk about 333 hertz as being a kind of a balanced rate that enables them to have enough space for telemetry. So it sounds like you're going to be controlling at 333, which is fantastic if you're a crossfire user. You're down at like 150 hertz. So it's going to be more, offer faster refresh than crossfire. Sorry, Brandon Beans, it creates a serial connection over the air. There you are. Yeah. So it's running a serial protocol alongside the control link. Or it's putting the... however you want to slice it, right? You've got control data, your stick movements, and you've also got the UI both going through there, it seems.
Yeah. 333 seems quite reasonable. I fly 150 hertz most things without thinking, oh, this is slow, because I'm slow these days.
And this will enable you to set waypoints while the craft's up in the air and, you know, direct it to go and do a grid search over a field or whatever you want it to do. Yeah.
The guy I see doing most with Ardu Pilot is probably RC Test Flight, who's doing his crazy going up and down Seattle rivers and stuff on his boats and planes and stuff. And he's always messing around mid doing it. And he's getting these big, powerful telemetry bits to try and do this. I wonder
if he uses those SIC radios, I think, SIK.
Yeah.
Which is where everyone's been, but they're not plentiful, and as far as I can tell, they've been out for like 10 or 15 years. They haven't really changed a lot. There's not a lot of competition, so it kind of lights a fire under that space and pushes some competition, which is generally good for hobbyists when you don't want to pay the earth for your equipment.
I do like the idea of doing it all in one thing, reduce the complexity with a single connection.
Well, and it means if you've got a craft that you've wired up to be just a regular, you know, CRSF-enabled flying quad. If you want to flip over to Ardu Pilot, then you can reflash the FC and you can reflash the receiver, and you don't need to buy any extra hardware. The thing that made me think of this was you especially, Carrie, with all the work you've done with RC cars. And I was thinking, you know, in the UK, you can't really put this on a plane and go flying massive autonomous missions back to space. But with an RC car, it could be hilarious to watch it like meander around and bump into stuff on a little autonomous mission.
Could it even get around a park without hitting stuff, that sort of thing?
It'd be like a man staggering to the kebab shop after leaving the pub, I think. That's the kind of level of competence you should expect from that. But it would be funny.
It might be funny. It makes me want to mess with it, but I've been trying to set up a VTOL wing recently, which was supposed to be already set up, and that has Ardu Pilot, and going there makes me realize how much I don't know about Ardu Pilot and how slightly hateful it is. It's like, where's the serial port? Oh, you want to look in the list of 10,000 parameters and look for serial 2 and then change the protocol to that to 42 if you want to use MSP OSD and
matching numbers all the way down.
It just keeps going, and it's kind of
so
like...
So you always wanted to be a developer? No, I just wanted to use Ardu Pilot. Ah, ha, ha.
It would be a bit like...
You have to be a developer.
If you had to set up beta flight via CLI, but no one told you any of the instructions about it, it's kind of...
Or if you said you wanted to load up, like, I'm going to buy the latest quadcopter sim. It's going to be great. It's like a sim of flying a multi-rotor. It's going to be exciting and adventurous thing. And you load it up, and it's just like Excel. What's this? Oh yeah, this is the Ardu Pilot simulator. Yeah, you've got 10,000 rows, and you've got to set them up correctly, otherwise your motors will burn out. Have fun.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, I'm still loving what Express LRS is doing. It kind of feels like it's not from the core of it, because I remember that we're not going to support these old protocols like SBUT. But of course, somebody else comes in and says, oh, we'll put SBUT in. Do you want to put it in? Yeah, yeah, okay. Hey, we've done something with Maplink. Do you want to put it in? Oh, I guess so. What about 433? I mean, it doesn't go 1,000 hertz. This is what we designed it for, but I guess we'll let it in the project. So it just, it's growing.
I mean, we've already done 100K on 2.4, but we'll put 433 in case you absolutely positively have to fly from another country.
To be fair, he didn't fly it back. So it's worth having these lower frequency protocols just in case.
Brandon Beans points out Betaflight 4.6 is on the horizon and they're putting altitude holds. So if you have one of those, if you want a no sh** button, which a lot of people do want, they want that, oh, it's all going horribly wrong, oh sh**, oh sh**. You don't want to fail safe. The traditional thing was you're halfway through a maneuver and you have no idea what's going on, you fail safe. Just to, like, in case you don't, so you don't lose the quad. Well, there's going to be an altitude hold thing, so if you're within radio link and you're not losing link, but you've just, like, got it someplace where you are freaked out and you just want to pause so you can stop sweating and take a breath, Betaflight 4.6 is going to have an altitude hold switch. So you can just kind of plonk that on and it will just keep you locked with the barrow and accelerometer holding it at the same altitude. And you can take a deep breath and then think, right, I'm the right way up. Where am I? Does that tree look familiar? Does that wall look familiar? Right, let's get back home.
Well, that's different. Normally, if you can just have altitude hold, what normally happens is the wind blows your drone away somewhere. But as long as you're still in the goggles and it's like, oh my God, I don't know what's happened. I've pressed the panic button. Now I can continue. I think you're okay. I mean, I think we've always used self-level for that, haven't we? It's like, put it in. Yeah. I forgot what the mode's called. I'm having
Horizon.
The one before Horizon. The even rubbish one. Angle.
But this is like flipping it into angle mode, but with like an intelligent throttle hold that's just going to keep you that height off the ground.
Yeah, that's not bad. It feels like it needs to be on the momentary, so you're just like, get it.
Absolutely.
Are people still doing the one-way whoop thing? You know, where maybe 133 might be good for that. Long distance, one-way flying whoop.
Oh, I didn't hear about this. Why is the one-way whoop? You've just explained it, but how did they get it back? It's just like, how far can it go?
Yay. They don't. Yeah, it's just, this goes only one way.
Fun.
That's it, yeah.
Free flight for quads.
Yeah. Disposable old whoop on its last legs. Wanna just push the record. I don't know. Or failing that, they add a GPS to it. Little GPS, but don't have like the normal antennas. I was thinking about maybe you could make like an even smaller antenna out of the ones that you harvest out of GoPros. And then maybe you could just last known GPS and then find it like that. But you can't add one of your lovely beepery things. It'd just be too heavy for it.
That'd be a shame. I suppose it depends. It wouldn't get that far. A couple of... Because I remember I was trying to do this, like, how far can I go on a 1S, back when we had brushed, how far can I go on a 1S brushed whoop? And I was going around in circles to find out what the range would be on this battery. And it was just about to 2K. So I was trying to get like a 1K out and back flight, see. But they don't go that much further. But perhaps the brushless ones become a little bit more efficient. You can make them a little bit lighter now and they can go further.
You've still got tiny props, haven't you? I remember when the whoops came out, I first got into building by taking whoops and putting them in like open airframes. And I went up from the 40mm props to the little Hubsan 55mm props, but 55mm or 60mm by blades. And you get quite a noticeable improvement in flight time when you go up to larger by blades instead of like tri or quad blade 40mm props. That helps a bit. But yeah, the motors are limiting at that size. They put out a lot of heat and they're not terribly efficient.
And yeah, the battery trade-off, trying to put a bigger battery in, it's this little curve. It's like, it's better. No, it's not. It's gone back down again.
Now you need 60% throttle to get off the ground.
Yeah. Has anybody done any flying this week? We had some good days.
Oh, it's just been drizzle. I've been thinking about building another quad. I've had a bunch of 1204 motors sitting around. 1204 motors. I've got an Airbot AIO and a Walksnell Nano VTX. And I've been meaning to make a little 2.5 inch with that. I'm just looking around trying to find a good canopy to put on it right now.
I've on my to-do list, I've got a balance of props to the old tricopter. And I haven't even done that. Followed by, putting in, working on the iNav tricopter. Haven't even started on that. I had a look and I found the old files work with normal sized servos. So that's something. So if you want the 3D printable files for that, I figured that out. So I got like the high tech servo for that. I'm assuming it's digital. How can you tell? I suppose really I'd have to look up the model number. At the beginning of the week, I was still taking antibiotics. So, so I haven't been able to venture far, shall we say. And then I was kind of like hoping something would happen this weekend regarding Frank, but I'm not too sure because he sounds like he's coming down with something.
So, probably gave it to him.
Yeah. And I've messaged Tom. So I don't know. Hopefully I'll fly. If someone's like, yep, we're going to go fly, and I had like something to look forward to, then I'd probably get the old prop. The prop balancer is out. It's set up. I have a bag of props. I just don't know whether I can get the glue gun out and sandpaper and all that bullshit. Don't know whether I've got it in me. Do you know what I mean? Can you remember doing it? Do you remember like the bits of tape and cutting the bits of tape? And
yeah, I mean, it was always okay. It was all right on planes because you only had to do one prop and it was only ever a two-bladed prop and it was a fairly quick thing. It's just like, that's a bit heavier, put a bit of tape on, that looks okay. And you might do a dynamic balance as well. So you'd run the prop up, you'd look for vibrations and then you'd turn the prop within the hub slightly and you'd look what's better. And the whole thing is like 10, 15 minutes and your plane's ready to go. But when you're talking about doing that like four times and I've never understood balancing on a tri-blade. So I don't think I've ever done it. But mostly because there's
better props
lasted that long.
I'm confused as to why you're buying props that are not ready to fly.
Because they always come out slightly wonky, no matter how good they are generally.
The responsibility of the person you're buying the props from, and you should ask for better props. Am I missing?
For a start, it's bi-blades for efficiency, and it's an old, like, 8-inch prop. Like, the ESCs definitely won't take 8-inch tri-blades, because they will just
New bi-blades that are better quality?
I don't think anyone is making them, because don't forget, you've got...
There's an APC.
You start going to that size, and then you get into the plane territory... Where they're individually
made of wood by cavemen.
Yeah, that's a tri-blade. Yeah, it's gonna.
Yeah, there'll be a guy making them in a cave somewhere with a napped flint.
Yeah, and plus I already own them. They're just you're right. They are old and the motors are made by Sunny Sky, so they're not even balanced.
What colour's your bottom?
Black.
Is that good or bad?
I don't want to say that.
Well, for a start, Emacs made the red bottoms, not Sunny Sky.
I just want to balance out Stephen's desire to make a 2.5 inch quad. This is
got a bigger field to fly in than I have. I'm slightly jealous.
Well, I haven't at the moment. This is the problem. I need a second field.
Is this the Open HD?
Is that an iFlight frame?
No, this is from
Steve. What it is?
Sure.
Tell us
this is a Canon. This is a 10-inch quad frame. It's from Secure, who make
with a Q.
With a Q, who are most famous for making soldering irons and now ESCs. Yeah. They have made this 10-inch quad. And I thought, yeah, why not? And it's got quite a lot of space in there. It's analog.
Very good. They've been making a name for themselves.
They're now on the Betaflight approved partner list, Secure. They've been really
doing
a lot of project.
Different things. Yeah. These are the 10-inch props that come with it, which I wouldn't like to break one because they look expensive to buy.
Gem fan carbon fiber by the looks of it.
And yeah, seven inch thick.
Caroline wants to know what the motors are. Are those 3115s like Caroline had?
They don't even look like it's got anything written on them.
They don't have anything written on them. I remember looking up. So
they look 30 size, like that sort of size. They'd have to be to spin a 10-inch prop, right? You're not going to do it on a 28 motor. It's going to be 31 or 35.
Fascinating.
Or 28-40 maybe. Big tall hot boys. 28-40s were popular a while ago, but obviously the taller you get, the hotter they get.
They are 3115s,
hey.
Going at 900 kV.
That's what Caroline was talking about earlier. She was doing a build with those 900 kV.
I was lazy and mine came pre-built.
Lucky, lucky, lucky gut.
Well, I thought it might make a fun noise. I like big things
making noise. It'll make a fantastic noise.
Sort of noise.
You should probably not balance the props because then you'll get a reassuring kind of.
I don't know how to balance these. They're too big and stupid looking, so I'm just going to fly with it.
Oh, there's Jack's props.
Oh my God. I forgot how to drink. Did anyone see that? I took a swig of my drink. Totally forgot how to hear it.
It's like Airplane.
And then just choked myself to death.
You've got some giant yellow props. Oh, as a mixture. Mind you got
this looks very similar to when I was looking for props to fly my tricopter. I've got a bag full of old props that you just go like this with, and they're so bendy and flimsy. I had a bunch of like Gemfan 10 and 11 inch ones, which are like so flimsy, it's unreal.
It's trying to find like ones that I seem to have more clockwise than counterclockwise. A lot more clockwise than counterclockwise.
Oh, HQ are doing some props in the 8-inch size. HQ do an 8x5.
You can always like change it to use two of the props that you've got most of and one of the ones that you haven't.
Yes, yeah. I have all these clockwise and only four counterclockwise.
I suggest you use two props clockwise
or counterclockwise on a tricopter. Like you could literally just use more clockwise than counterclockwise, couldn't you? Because you can
indeed.
Yeah,
and it pretty much doesn't matter which way you put the props on, as long as two are one way and one's the other way. It doesn't really care.
Can it deal if you put all three on the same way and just like...
That would be a no. That would be an interesting idea. It'd be like, right on one side.
You can't mess around with the tail. Whatever the tail's direction, you're stuck with it.
So, HQ do an 8x5 in light grey that looks suspiciously like the modern props I've used on, like, 4-inch and 5-inch bi blades. Of course, you want to reuse the ones you've got at the moment, but they're, like, new polycarbonate ones.
Send me the link.
If you find yourself up a certain creek without a certain paddle.
I'm not great. I mean, they're 8-inch slow fly, but I've got a feeling that... Yeah, people aren't making these props anymore. They're not going to be popular. Not many people are going to be making them.
Well, I'm telling you, literally, they do make them. HQ make an 8x5. So it's available. It looks identical to their smaller props. So it's going to be the same technology, the same material science. Should be
able. Yeah, I mean, it's moved on, you know.
I mean, give them a whirl. What's the worst going to happen? You know, if it fails the hover test catastrophically, you can just cut throttle before it goes too far, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's no big loss. It's always a It's all for a laugh.
Well, you've got to fly it sooner or later, right? Got to.
Mm.
Unless you want to just put it up there as a piece of history.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've still got the hysterical quad, which
hysterical we need, quad, yeah, quad hysteria, all the way.
Yeah,
I should fly the thing, but it was challenging.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, at some point we will need it.
Someone else, and they can try it.
Well, no, it's originally to show you, and the main recipient of it is Cole.
I'll give it to him when he appears.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's a challenging thing. You kind of take it up there and it decides to weave around and you can kind of fly through obstacles, but you can't fly that fast because it just doesn't respond well to quick stick movements. You've got to like really slow down the inputs, which is a bit like, it's like trying to steer a wayward shopping trolley.
Well, it's a bit of a challenge for you. I mean, tune it. Yeah. See if you can get any more performance out of it.
I haven't got any good filters on it. It can't even do good filtering. Like, my first go-to thing was I just rip out the MCU and I put like an H7 in there and just like have recent firmware and replace the ESCs and the motors and then just be like, well, it's the same quad. So
I feel the need to say stuff like, back in my day, didn't have no fancy filters. You had a screwdriver and you turned up the gains up and down.
It would be like,
that's how you got your tune.
Theseus is quad. If it was left to me, be like, oh, it's the same quad. It's got a new flight controller, motors, ESCs, and I changed the frame a bit, but it's the same quad.
Mate, I think you need to embrace the wonkiness of it and just go with it.
Yeah.
If you want to really embrace the wonkiness, I've got an AR drone up in the loft. You want to try flying over Wi-Fi, boys? I think that might be one you haven't done. You think your controller is terrible with FR-Sky.
Those are quads, mate. Over Wi-Fi. I can beat that. I've got one of them dodgy, what they call him? Who's that guy that did the Kickstarter, big dodginess?
Oh, Vernon.
Vernon. I've got one of his crappy drones in a cupboard somewhere. Yeah, that is terrible.
Was he just trying to flog that stuff through Argos or something? Because it just read like a list of obviously failed promises.
Yeah, he managed to get the original, what they call it? I forgot it now. I wanted to say it's called like AR. Something like the mini. No, he wasn't AI. It's like the mini drone 2 or something. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, it was very bad, in my opinion. Someone put the disclaimer on. And it didn't fly very well.
Where he could just
and flog it. Everybody's very unhappy about the crowdfunding. It wasn't Kickstarter, it was something else he's tried to do to get the next one. It's not Kickstarter, it was something else. One of them.
Expressed by any guest or host on the show or personal. That may not
anyway
the views.
He hasn't come up with a delivered product as yet, and it's like 4 million quid later and many years.
And he's got a lovely house and a sports car.
I don't know what it's
my suggestion only. I do not believe these views.
Vernon very much reminds me of an apprentice candidate where he really believes in himself, but is essentially not there, if you get it. He's like, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. You're not doing it. Yeah, I am, but it's failing. No, it's good. It's going to be great. Okay.
Well, he's been quiet for about 5 years, so I guess that's all she wrote, right?
He's still working on it, maybe. Anyway, I got one of those. Maybe I should do a single distance with that, but I have the feeling it would go down. I would still be able to bloody see it, let alone try and find it by GPS or something.
I know.
This episode was recorded in front of a live online audience, downloaded and edited to make sense when it's played audio only, censored to please the iTunes people, hosted on the internet, forwarded through to your podcast provider, downloaded, playing on your device, and is now playing in your ears. All thanks to our Patreons. Consider joining them and you'll also get other online benefits. Find out more at patreon.com/letsdroneout.
Are you very interested in the one way notion of flying something only one not having
no, it, I can't deal with losing stuff.